It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're bouncing your head there. I saw it.
It's all about, I'm watching Corey Coleman highlights.
I got. They're fun to watch.
How do you not bounce your head.
Gibbs is afraid to admit his excitement.
Gibbs, are you afraid to admit your excitement?
I heard it in his voice. He's excited.
Gibbs, are you excited?
I think Gibbs is too busy to really have a lot of emotion.
Is he gone? I don't know.
He might be having a chit chat with the voice of the Baylor Bears while we're coming
he
back
might
from
be.
Break. Are we even up right now?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to talk though.
It's what we get paid to do.
I'm excited. Gibbs, do we have the voice of the Baylor Bears? Let's go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline now and bring in John Morris, the radio voice of the Baylor Bears. John, welcome to CBD.
Guys, appreciate you having me on. This is an exciting time for us, and I hope it is for you guys in Cleveland as well.
It certainly is. What kind of player are the Browns getting in Corey Coleman?
Several words come to mind. He's dynamic. He's explosive. He is a playmaker. And I think you and your fans are going to really like what you see in Corey Coleman on and off the field. He has such great numbers here at Baylor, and I hope he continues that now kind of with another Baylor guy and Robert Griffin there in Cleveland.
You're absolutely right. And as you dive in and watch some of the highlights of Corey Coleman, or you know, you read some of the comments that Art Briles made of Corey Coleman, there seems to be a level of tenacity in him. Even for by some people's thoughts, an underside wide receiver, but it almost like he plays angry.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I would agree with that. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but he will battle for balls. I mean, I can remember some plays, kind of, not really jump balls, but sort of a jump ball in the end zone, and you think the cornerback has better position. But Corey, I can remember several where he reaches around the cornerback, out jumps him, and comes away with the ball for a touchdown. So he will battle, and I think you'll like that aspect of his game.
When you look at Corey Coleman, if you had to make a pro comparison for him, who would you say?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'm not really sure. I think of some other college guys, that he sort of compares to. But for a pro guy, I'm really not sure. I might have to take the fifth on that one. And I focus mainly on college,
sure.
Obviously, with Baylor here. So I really couldn't call it. Nobody comes to mind. Really.
One of the names that we've heard a lot from certain people is Steve Smith, formerly the Carolina Panthers, now with the Baltimore Ravens. Not the biggest guy, but plays big,
right.
Explosive with the ball in his hands, et cetera. Would that kind of fit the bill for you?
I think so, yeah. Next time somebody asks me that question, that'll be my answer. But no, I think that's pretty accurate, yes.
So there's a quote from Art Briles that I've been kind of saying all day long that I just love, talking about the competitiveness, and Matt alluded to earlier. And I quote about Corey Coleman's competitiveness: he'll pull your heart out and watch it stop beating. This sounds like a guy who cares so much about doing whatever he has to do to win and making sure he gets the most out of every play. Is that the kind of guy that he strikes you as?
That's what you're getting there in Cleveland. I mean, he is so dadgum competitive. And we see it in games. We see it in practice. Because, as you know, or you're probably finding out, Baylor's got a pretty good line of receivers going, from Baylor into the NFL. Six in the last 7 years from Baylor receivers have been drafted into the NFL. And Corey fits right in that mode. He takes that very, kind of that lineage, if you will, of receivers here at Baylor. He took that very seriously when he was here. And he wanted to uphold that tradition and elevate it even. So you could see that every day in practice and certainly every game here with Baylor.
You mentioned earlier, hooking back up with RG3, and it's a fresh start for RG3 here in Cleveland. And again, just to rewind slightly, talk about the guy that RG3 was on campus while at Baylor and was, the haul that was given up to move up to number two by Washington,
yeah,
to get him, and the pressure of success early in the National Football League, a little something that kind of got to him and deviated him off this course?
Yeah, I think so. But you remember he had a great rookie season. You know, even with all that pressure and with that many picks being given up to get him in the draft, he still had a great rookie season. And then, you know, he had some injuries, and that slowed him down a little bit. And you know, and then it just wasn't a good situation from that point on. But Robert, when he was here, I mean, he was the king of Waco, you know, because he had that great smile and was always great with the fans and kids and the media here. And everybody just loved Robert and were pulling for him. And then, you know, to do what he did to win Baylor's first Heisman Trophy. I mean, there's a statue of Robert Griffin outside our stadium now, and that says a lot
yes.
about him as a person and as a player. So I was thrilled that he got the kind of a fresh start, you know, a new spot there in Cleveland. I'm really happy for him, and I think you and you probably found this out already. He's great to deal with, and the fans there are going to love Robert Griffin.
Yes, he's been very impressive, I'd say, around the building, just and how he's handled himself with the media and obviously on the practice field. Do you think that he is a guy that, with Hugh Jackson here, that this is his chance to really turn it around? And do you think that he can do what he has to be successful in the National Football League, winning from the pocket more than relying on his athleticism as he did so much as a rookie?
Sure, and that's a very fair question. But I think, number one, Robert is a very smart guy. You know, he is smart on the field and off the field. And I know he knows that he has to adjust his game. You've got to play within the system, whatever the system is, you know, with the team you're with. And so if that means staying in the pocket, not relying on your legs, you know, to make plays, I know he's smart enough to know that and to do that. So I think he will be successful in that system. And like I said, it's great to have kind of a clean slate, you know, and a fresh start with a new coaching staff and a new team. And I'm really excited about the prospects for him there in Cleveland.
And another Baylor Bear that has been a Cleveland Brown for a few years now and has kind of been missing in action as of recent, that is, of course, Josh Gordon. Talk
sure.
to us about the guy that he was on campus, you know, with some trials and tribulations even there on campus, of course, in the supplemental draft to the Cleveland Browns in the second round. And he seemed to have that one great season and extremely high hopes, but again, has kind of fallen off the rocker. Do you feel that Josh Gordon is a young man who can right that ship and really have an NFL career worth following?
Well, I hope so, you know, and I'm pulling for him. He certainly has the talent on the field to do that. I mean, when he was here, we were just sort of, you know, drop-jawed watching the plays that he would make. We described him when he was here at Baylor as he's a pro. You know, you could just tell that he had pro potential, and obviously that's been borne out. He had those great hands where he would just sort of snatch the ball and be gone. He had a 94-yard touchdown catch here against Kansas State one year where it was a short pass, and then he just outran everybody down the sideline for a score. So I think he's got to get things off the field in line to the point when he can get back on the field. And I'm hoping that's the case, and I'm praying for him that is the case, because he definitely has NFL talent if he can just get everything together enough to get reinstated and get back out there.
Yeah, we certainly all hope for that, because it is something, the guy's an unbelievable talent, and obviously you want to see him be able to utilize that talent for himself, for this team, and obviously for his family and the future generations with Josh Gordon there. Talking with John Morris, the radio voice of the Baylor Bears right now. John, one of the knocks on Coleman coming in is that they ran such a limited route tree at Baylor and that it will be a big adjustment. Now, you've talked about how many guys have come from Baylor in the NFL and had success. What do you think about that for Coleman? How much of a transition will that be?
You know, that's interesting. I've heard that. If there is a knock on him, I guess, maybe his route running or his crisp route running. But I just know what I've seen in his 3 years here at Baylor. You know, if you draw up a play in the sand and say, Corey, you be here and we'll get you the ball, he's there. So I think, you know, whatever he needs to do, and it may be more structured with the Browns, I'm sure
yes.
it is. You know, in the offense, I'm sure it's more structured than what we had here. Here it was more the quarterback reading the receiver. Where is he going to be? You know, and then if that's your best option, getting the ball, there it may be he needs to be in a particular spot, you know, and be more crisp in his routes. but I know he can do it. I mean, I have no doubts whatsoever that he can do it. And it'll be fun to see, you know, to watch the maturation of him into a pro system now. But in my mind, there is no doubt that, he can do that and do whatever he needs to do to be successful in that offense.
What is your favorite Corey Coleman call of his time at Baylor?
Oh, man, there were so many. You know, he had this year, this past year, his junior year, he had 20 touchdowns in eight games. Basically.
Eight games, Biletnikoff Award winner.
In eight games. Yeah, exactly. Biletnikoff Award winner, the first at Baylor. But he was just scoring touchdowns at an unbelievable rate. There was one game earlier this year, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was against. I think it was a conference game, when he had three touchdowns in the first quarter. And then, you know, Baylor got to a big lead, and he just didn't play much after that. But that was a day where, you know, he could have, if you kept feeding him the ball, he could have had six or seven touchdowns in the game because he and our quarterback at that time, I'm not sure if it was Seth Russell or Jarrett Stidham, had a great connection, and he just could have done that. So it's like, you know, he just is instant offense. He is so explosive that even a short pass, you know, he can turn into a long touchdown run, or he can go get the ball and outrun defensive backs if he needs to. So there's just – there have been so many. To answer your question, there have been so many that it's hard to pick one over any of the others.
Yeah, I'm sure you are going to miss that. I'm no math major, but 20 touchdowns in eight games sounds like 2.5 touchdowns a game to me. So that's a lot of fun, obviously, with Corey Coleman. John, we certainly appreciate the time and the insight on the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, the 15th overall pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the first receiver taken, the Biletnikoff Award winner, Corey Coleman from your Baylor Bears. Thanks, John.
We're excited for him, and Cleveland Browns now have a lot of fans down here in Central Texas.
That's right, Bob.
And with Corey Barrett. Hope Josh gets back at some point. So appreciate visiting with you guys. Thanks a lot.
Great to have you. Thank you. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Your reaction to yesterday, and more importantly, what are you looking for tonight? The Browns holding the 32nd pick in the 2016 NFL Draft. Do they stay put? Do they get in the temptation of one of these offers? What would it take for you to move out? Who do you want if they stay there? Let us know on CBD. By the way, the kid wearing his orange and brown socks today for the occasion. Very strong fashion statement, kid. Not afraid. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid here. By the way, this just came across my Twitter timeline from PFT Commenter. Chris Christie, you know, the governor, said, "I can't take my eyes off NFL draftee smoking pot from gas mask." And I quote, "When I was a prosecutor, I would have gone in and cuffed this guy." Get a life. I mean, good
Did you
God.
Happen to see the Vic's most recent tweet or post?
The Notorious?
Yes.
No.
It says Bill's top pick at Shaq Lawson says one NFL team asked him at the combine, "How would you kill somebody?"
Shaq Lawson, yep.
And his answer was, "Why would I do that?"
These teams in this stuff is so stupid. It's like a guy could be beating someone up and he doesn't drop down a draft board. Another guy smokes a little weed and all of a sudden nobody's going to touch him. People are asking questions like that. I mean, just watch football games and see who's good and pick them. It's a real simple science. I mean, some of these teams, it's just idiotic.
It is.
Yes. Give me a break here. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go north of the border.
Oh, here he is, folks.
Cam from Canada. Cam, how are you?
Feel great. I feel like a Brady Bunch reunion having the kid back on.
It is nice, isn't it?
Awesome. So, yeah, that was a nice draft yesterday. I've just maintained the view that we just have to let these guys do their talk. Now, I was going to talk because they came at me hard for about the Wentz thing. Brought Wentz to the table when he wasn't even mentioned, not even 100. Brought Buckner to the table when people said he could play because of what he did in the Ohio State game. So I'm bringing Carew to the table.
Rod Carew, let's hear it.
Hall of Famer Rod Carew.
I'm bringing him to the table, and I'm saying right now, because Michael Thomas got mentioned earlier, Thomas doesn't compete as the way that Carew does. And here's all I wanted to say. with Peru, you have a guy, and I just got sent this last night. I haven't based anything on it. It's just been raw eye test. PFF did a survey, or not a survey, but pardon me, an index that said, who is the most pro-successful, they predicted the most pro-successful wide receiver in the country, and they based it on a since 2000, and they said that Leonte Crew is the most pro, he is the greatest success among college football players right now. He's ranked just ahead of Corey Coleman. He comes in at a 71, Coleman came in at 68, and his numbers would put him just behind Dez Bryant between 2000 and 2014.
You don't have to convince me.
Were you wearing a gas mask with Laramie as of recent?
Rod Carew is a player, I'm telling you. Let's get him in the third round.
Cam, always good to hear from you, my friend.
Yes,
stay well.
Stay well. By the way, here's a great tweet that just came across as well. Jared Goff, you know, from the Bay Area, a huge San Francisco Giants baseball fan. So along, I guess this was a while ago, tweeted, I hope Yaziel Puig gets a fastball in his ribs tomorrow as a Giants fan hating on a Dodger. So Puig tweeted him today, big hug, welcome to L.A. I show you around. Be my guest to Dodgers game. Puig, your friend. Puig, not late. I think that's great. The sports bringing people together. You know what brings people together? The phone. And we're going to be together right now with Reggie from Youngstown. Reg, are you happy right now?
Hey, very much so, guys.
That's
I really am. I like how it's going and stuff very well. Hey, listen, do you think that in this round here, 2 and 3 here, do you think that you can pick up a couple more receivers? What do you think about that? And also, I was going to say, hey, guys, if you can, some of the guys that you all mentioned that could come up, you know, that's top players in this draft, myself and also I'm sure some of the people, we don't know exactly like what positions sometimes when you guys say certain names. So if you can, will you do me a favor and just say, well, you know, such and such, you know, receiver or whatever he may play, so we kind of have an idea maybe if they're thinking about him and what position that they're thinking about.
Not okay. A problem, Reg.
Of course, Reg.
Okay, guys. I'll listen to you. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's go to Iron Will in Parma.
Hi, guys.
How you doing, Iron Will?
I'm so excited, just like you last night, Nathan, when we saw that Zeke went off the board and Bosa, and we're starting to think, well, what are we going to do at 8? We're kind of stuck. I was so elated. When I saw trade up there, I couldn't believe, and we all thought, well, it's got to be Tunsil. They're coming up to get Tunsil, despite the gas mask. And then it turned out to be Conklin, and I was in absolute disbelief that they would come up and give all that up, or whatever, that's their business. And because I was confident we were going to take a receiver. And I got to admit, this guy, the only reason I knew this Coleman's name is because of you guys talking about him. So I said, all right, let's see, you know, and I saw his height. I said, okay, and then you do the research and you say, wait a minute, look, this guy's the same. My favorite receiver in the NFL is Odell Beckham. Same size, great measurables just like him, bigger than Antonio Brown. So, yeah, very excited. I love what I see about him. And then tonight, I'm ready to start picking players already. The trade downs, I guess if you're going to trade out of 32, unless you get another one next year, I don't know how you're going to get an extra two. I'm ready to just start picking players already.
It just depends who you want. You know, if you think you can trade down for someone that you want, you trade down. If there's someone you really want, I agree. Let's pick them right here and let's not lose them. But again, these guys are smart guys. They've analyzed this 6 ways to Sunday. They know, just like they knew in the first round, that they were going to get the guy they wanted by trading back to 15. If they trade back, they have a plan. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, folks.
Let's go to Frank in Connecticut now. Frank.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Well, my name's Eric, but that's all right.
Well, we're going to call you Frank. I know a guy named Eric Frank, so.
Okay. All right. According to Gibbs, you're Frank.
Well, Gibbs couldn't understand my name, so it's always Gibbs.
That's all right.
I've been a long-time podcast listener to you guys since way back to the Notorious days, and I'm really happy to be on the show.
Happy to have you.
You got to tell me something. So about 9:30 or so last night, the ground shook up here in Connecticut. I have to think it was Mo Pedman dancing in the streets.
Yes, Gibbs. Save that. Caller of the Year nominee right there. Mo Pedman was dancing.
Win a chicken dinner.
Drop the mic.
Right. Making it rock in Connecticut. Man, I love what these guys are doing. They're killing the draft. And the thing that got me, you know, it confirmed for me that they were doing it right, was how much everybody hated what they were doing. When Pete Prisco gives you a C, I know you've done something right.
Prisco. Yes, you're touching on all the bases right now. Matt Wilhelm, fond of Prisco's style of analysis. That was great. Mo Pedman dancing in the streets. Oh, it's on the Richter scale, folks. Thank you so much, Eric Frank. We appreciate the call, brother.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, let's go to Craig in Clinton now. Craig.
Just calling. I just want to say, I really hope the Browns take Ragland at 32. I think he's a thumper. We've been missing a thumper forever. And if they trade back a little bit, take Spence, Thomas, or Henry. But I'm begging Sashi Brown, just please take Scooby Wright and Carl Nassib in round three.
I see the look on Matt Wilhelm's face. And
I think
all
that's
respect,
early for Scooby Wright.
Thanks for the call, but aren't those guys like run-stopping linebackers?
Yeah, and Scooby Wright, you know, I read his Players Tribune, like, you know, letter to all the teams. If you have to write,
he makes plays.
Believe me, he does. He makes plays. I mean, shoot, I made a lot of plays. Okay, but it's like he's got a cool name. People know who he is. Probably have not watched more than a dozen of his snaps, and they're probably only highlights. Okay, so I get it.
Yeah. I don't want thumpers either.
Reggie Ragland is a very – would be an anchor of this defense. And Matt Wilhelm will be able to tell you, I believe, and I think you and I agree with this, that in a 3-4, that is a very, very key guy that it can anchor your D for years and years and years.
You need – in the modern NFL, you need linebackers that can cover. Not saying you don't need some guys to stop the run.
In your – yes.
But – you're not going to be playing your base defense
that
often.
He's not like an immobile guy.
I was referring more to Scooby Wright. Yes. I don't know much about Ragland.
Scooby Wright's a limited athlete who I believe did the very best with he could
Absolutely.
With his talent.
I would much rather take a converted safety playing linebacker that can cover all over the field and hit a little bit.
All right, I agree. Let's go to Andre in Honolulu. Andre.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Glad to be calling in. I'm super pumped, just like everybody else. I watched the draft, you know, after work. It, you know, well, it started at 2, so, you know, I had to watch a little bit at work. But then, I'm just really happy. My thought, I guess, I want to bring up today is one thing that we're not even considering. Well, it's nice to have a front office that seems competent, and it's you know, I have no doubt in my mind that people are going to be calling in and pumped about what happens tonight. If we trade down, if we pick best overall on our board, it doesn't matter because it's going to be their plan, and I know they're going to execute it. And
you sound like a wise man.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time in my life I've ever felt like that watching the draft. So it's kind of a new feeling. You know, I've been watching the Browns since I was 5, and, you know, it's about time. But another thought that we're not even considering is you know, with all these picks in the future, 2 1s, 2 2s, 2 3s next year also, we have 4 first-round draft picks on our roster who haven't done much for our team. And I think we have the right coaching staff to maybe bring out the best in them. You know, Mingo, Gilbert, Irving, Shelton, not that they were busts, but they have potential to maybe step it up a notch this year. And we could be looking at a roster that's better than a lot of people anticipate.
I mean, look, over 120 years more NFL coaching experience on this staff from last year's staff. I think that's going to be key. And I don't think there's anybody better for Corey Coleman, by the way, than Al Saunders to teach him how to play that position at a very high level. One of the most respected football minds in the National Football League. And I know that there have been top wide receivers in the NFL who, when Al was coaching for other teams, would seek out his counsel yes. on their game tape, which is something certainly very, very interesting. Let's go to Andre in Honolulu now. Andre. That was Andre. I'm sorry. Pumpkinhead. My man, I saw him last night at the draft party. By the way, that draft party I thought was pretty cool, and I think people certainly had a good time out there. I saw Pumpkinhead out there. How you doing today, bro?
Good. I just wanted to call in and commend the Browns and Kevin Griffin and his staff on a wonderful, fun-filled evening last night. It was really good. I enjoyed it. So happy to see everybody. My son had a good time. He was clamming for Paxton Lynch at 8, but, you know, I was happy with the draft. I'm not really familiar with Coleman, but I'm getting familiar with him today. I think it was great that they traded down. You know, that was the plan all along, I felt. They got themselves a weapon, and I think they're ready to get their hands dirty today and get us some more weapons. Just wanted to call and say thanks, and it was good seeing you guys last night.
Good seeing you as well. Thank you. Let's get to Jim in Akron here before we take a little break. Jim.
Hey, fellas.
Man, what's up, man?
I think with the moves they're making, I think we're going to be relevant sooner than later. And that dreaded P word that we haven't been able to taste in so long, the playoffs. You know, hearing the coach say that that Coleman is the type of guy that will rip your heart out and look at it. That's kind of how I feel when I see all these Steeler fans in our town that's never been to Pennsylvania. And I think if we can get a few more guys with some grit, you know, and collecting these third-round picks, I think maybe you can potentially take a risk on somebody. Maybe the kid out of Notre Dame, if he makes it that far, you know, and it would just be a bonus. Obviously, he's not going to play this year, you know, and you know, maybe you take that risk on that old Rod Carew, as you call him. You know, I think things are looking up for us as Browns fans.
I think so as well. They got to continue to use these assets and hit on them. By the way, Rand Getland, we've been talking about Reggie Ragland, the inside linebacker out of Alabama. Getland saying in a survey of 11 teams, I'm told there is zero concern about Ragland's minimally enlarged aorta. Expect him to come off the board early today. By the way, this is Bill Barnwell wrote an article about the trade winners in the draft right now, and he said the Browns are leading the way so far. They have improved their draft capital by 48% with the two deals, Elver, so far in this draft, and that's talking about actually just...
Does he have who second? Is it Tennessee second?
Cleveland was number one. This was from day one of the draft. Then he's got the Bears-Bucks one. And now, so this isn't even looking at the major trade that the Browns made.
2-8.
Right. So what he is saying, the Browns improved their sixth-round pick by 100 slots from 176 to 76 this year and picked up a free second-round pick in the following season. That's 10 times the value of the one the Browns traded on the traditional chart. 10 times. By the way, he says the 2017 draft is shaping up to be a mammoth endeavor. The Browns now have two first-rounders, two second-rounders, as many as four fourth-round picks, their own, and up to three comp selections from the NFL. After accounting for the fifth-rounder they sent Philly next year as part of the deal, a reasonable estimate is that those extra picks they've acquired are worth 34 points on the Stewart chart. This is another way of valuing draft picks. That's the same value of the first overall pick, plus they have their own picks in 2017. Pretty impressive for the Browns loading up there. When we come back, we'll have the Day 2 Friday forecast on CBD. How many times have we been here before? How many pieces have to break? So many reasons not to celebrate. But I hate to see you cry. Welcome back to CBD. Gibbs, I feel like we haven't got to talk too much today. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. It's a grind, man. It's 3 days. As you guys know, it's even longer for you guys because you have TV stuff. You know, you gotta pace yourself.
We don't complain, bro. We just do it, man.
You can't get too high. You can't get too low.
I'd like to see you get a little higher, Gibbsy. I'm not gonna lie.
Got to keep focused.
You need a gas mask?
I was actually not referring to that. I'm gonna like your little enthusiasm.
I almost said
there.
Something that might have put me in some meetings.
Is it time now for the Friday forecast, Gibbs?
Yeah, we can do that. How about we do that? All right, guys. Pick number 32 tonight. Ideally, what would you do with pick 32 tonight?
I would trade down and get one of two players, one of three players, Rod Carew, Mackenzie Alexander.
He converted.
Or my boy, Sharon Peake, although I've been told he might be around in round number three.
That's tonight.
I mean, I would, but I don't
think. He could be around in round number four. Pretty easily.
Let's not overthink like the 49ers did yesterday.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll take him. All right, so I want to trade down and take either Mackenzie Alexander or Rod Carew.
I believe if we hold out and the eight conversations we're having via trade, as you said, Nathan, dwindles down to two or three, you take the best offer. The one thing that I don't want to do is I don't want to move outside of 40 or beyond 40. If I'm at 32, I want to be from 33
I said, and I got yelled at by the kid.
To 40. And the reason why is because
he's bigger than you.
There are there's you can count on both hands the number of players that have a first round grade.
Sure.
And as we've heard earlier from the Pro Football Focus guy, that the names that went in the first round were a shock to him, because the names that are outside looking in right now in the first round, he had going in the first round. I want one of those guys. Who it is? Kevin Dodd is a guy that I think could play in this defense very well. I think Noah Spence, not at 32. I'd rather take him at 37, you know, and get whatever pick we get in return for that move back is another guy. But if we've gone offense and gotten a playmaker, I wouldn't be opposed to moving back and getting a Michael Thomas.
Yep.
And I would say even moving back, if Sterling Shepard is available inside of 40, so 33 to 40, Sterling Shepard, get another playmaker.
There are so many. If I stayed at 32, my pick right now would be Noah Spence. I get that pass rusher, and I think he's the best one in the draft that's left by a lot to fit the 3-4 defense. I think you have a great opportunity to move back two spots with Dallas. Would be fantastic. And, you know, there are reports out there. There's one article saying that basically if the Browns don't take Connor Cook, it says they could lose. If they trade down, they risk losing Cook to the Dallas Cowboys. If the Browns were that interested in Connor Cook, they're not even having trade discussions. They're taking Connor Cook. So I don't know if they're that interested. What?
Thank God.
Yeah, and he goes, who are sitting at 34 and presumably still smoldering, of course, Dallas Cowboys, by being outfoxed by the Denver Broncos GM John Elway. I don't know the Cowboys. Everything that's coming out of Dallas right now, Ed Werder, saying that they're interested in Emmanuel Ogba, the pass rusher out of Oklahoma State, who fits their 4-3 defense. Kevin Dodd would be a name. One that you've mentioned a lot would be a name that would fit for them as well. But I think you're going to have an opportunity to move back. If you do, I want to get a future one, because I'm told that this pick is very valuable. I just texted one of our guys.
I can't imagine a team giving up a one for this.
People have such – they don't care about future picks
because
like
they might
do.
Be fired by yes. next year.
But I don't – I just don't see it. I just can't see someone – trust me, I'm happy to take it. I think it's a pipe dream.
I'm with you, Gibbsy.
I'm with you, too. But I never would have thought we would have gotten a 2 and a 3 to move from 8 to 13 for a right tackle.
That's what happens when you stockpile.
And even more, and for me, best case scenario for me, and again, this may in fact be a pipe dream too, but I want somehow, some way, acquire 2-2s this year.
That would be great, because then you can get a receiver, you can get a linebacker, you can get a pass rusher, you get
two swings at guys that have first round grades.
Yeah.
So that means we give us potentially 3 first rounder ish type of guys.
I would be very happy at receiver Sterling Shepard. I'm not as big on Michael Thomas. Leonte Carew, one of those 3, I think would be a very good pick for this team. Linebacker inside, you got Reggie Ragland. Safety, you got Von Bell. Outside linebacker, you got Noah Spence. You've got a bevy of defensive tackles that have first-round grades on them. Reed, A'shaun Robinson.
Jones.
Tons of guys. Jones. You've got, you know, Derrick Henry's going to be in the mix for somebody, although that's not a pick that I would like at all.
I don't
all.
Want that here.
Hunter Henry at tight end.
I like him, too. I forgot
like Hunter
about
Henry.
Him.
There are a lot of options,
but
I believe.
I like a
Browns.
Lot. I like all these guys, 36 to 43, not 32.
A lot of options. What?
I like them 36 to 43 in that range. All those guys. I don't like him at 32. I guess I don't like the pressure of having to pick that one guy at 32, and I feel like banking on having to be right.
I feel like you eat pressure for breakfast.
Yeah, but hey, give me an extra pick somewhere down the road. Come take that pressure and go get that guy that you're so confident in, and let me have a little bit more time to digest and pick someone, you know, 4 or 5 picks in the second round and get comfortable.
I believe you have an opportunity to get a dominant pass rusher in Noah Spence. I really think that
if you feel that strongly, I think you got to go get
him. Let's say Noah Spence is top 20 on your board, Matt Wilhelm. Are you taking him, or would you still want to trade back? Like, wouldn't it have to be an absolute socks blowing in the wind offer to get you to trade back?
Yes, it would. And the reason why I say that is if he's your number one player on the board, we stayed true to our board and our plan and ended up with Corey Coleman, the best wide receiver on our board, and if he's the best outside linebacker, and we're also not only getting the best player available, but also a player of need, I take him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I'm modifying the question a little bit. Give me your top two Browns positions of need going into tonight.
Pass rusher, whether it's an outside linebacker or an interior lineman. I prefer, you know, coming from the Lawrence Taylor era that I come from, I prefer the outside linebacker route. But pass rusher would be one. And I still would say receiver, even with Corey Coleman, I think we need one more. I would say running receiver and pass rusher.
I'm going to go right down that same path. I think, you know, the Denver Broncos template for winning a Super Bowl and your ability to affect the passer, we need to do that at a much higher level. Now, I think you've got some guys in Kruger and Orchard who you've invested in via free agency and the draft that should be able to do that for you, but give me another guy. Give me another guy. And that could even come, you know, at defensive end, you know, with that 5 or 7 technique and your ability to win, you know, on the outside shoulder of that guard or the inside shoulder of a tackle and get to the quarterback that way.
Absolutely. I think there are, when I look at the positions of need, getting to the quarterback, affecting the quarterback, that's massive. So it can come from a variety of places, as you pointed out. I want the outside backer. I want the guy that comes off the edge, the disruptor. We saw how dominant when you get a Von Miller and a DeMarcus Ware together, that can be in the National Football League. So I want Noah Spence there. The other positions of need, quarterback, always a position of need until it is not. And then I'd agree with you, kid, wide receiver. Secondary needs, I think inside linebacker. I think safety. I think pass-catching tight end. A lot of needs for this team, but they do have a lot of picks for as they head in to tonight. By the way, what do you guys think about this? Ezekiel Elliott is flying on Jerry Jones' plane, obviously, to Dallas.
Okay.
The number 2 overall pick in the draft, Carson Wentz, is flying commercial to Philadelphia.
Philly's a tough town, man. Get used to it.
Come on, man.
You're one of the people.
I remember.
Until you win, you're nothing.
Elliott's going to wear, is he going to wear 21? There's a picture of Ezekiel Elliott wearing the number 21.
Can he wear 20? Yeah, I did read that.
20s and 30s.
Yeah, but isn't that prime?
Yeah, but it's not retired.
That's prime time.
Well, yeah, now he is prime.
Play there that long that it's going to be retired.
No, it's Jen Dez put on 88 for the playmaker.
Whew. The playmaker. I'd like to get the playmaker out of retirement on this offense.
Get some wide receivers. Is that any? You got any more?
Break time.
Break time. What about 3 and 4?
Well, we ran out of time today, guys. I'll give you number 4 when we come back from break.
All right, we'll be back wrapping it up. Man, 2 hours flying by, but guess what? Tonight we've got 3 more hours of coverage for you all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. While me, Wilhelm, and the kid is a dream team, we also have another dream team coming your way tonight. Ken Carmen, myself, Matt Wilhelm, maybe a special call-in for Mo Pedman. Who got things rocking in Connecticut. Was that one? Will you play that cut? Can we give that cut to Ken to hear what his cousin was doing in Connecticut?
I'll work on it.
All right, brother. We'll be back with more. Wrapping it up. CBD. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid. Final thoughts. All right, guys. The kid, this is the last chance we're going to have to talk to you before the draft is completed. 11 picks out there still. What is the most important thing in terms of numbers? Number one, when do you draft a quarterback? Number two, how many receivers do you want total?
I want 3 receivers and a tight end, and I would take a quarterback in round 4 through 6.
Do you have a target?
Not really.
By the way, Brian Vaughn at @TheReal_BV, our guy who sent us all the care packages, some golf balls in there for you, kid, said, please wish Matt and the Giants good luck this weekend against the Panthers. David Busters or bust. Do work, boys.
That's right.
Yes.
Hoist the trophy.
I would also say I really want to come out of the draft with a pass rusher.
Yeah.
I'm vacillating. I might just say take Noah Spence right
I think
here.
It's time. I don't think there's going to be a pass rusher that you can get that excited about later on. That's a premium position in the National Football League. I think if that pass rusher, if you're going to get one that could be an impact player, it's going to be here in the second round for the Cleveland Browns.
In Sashi, I trust.
Yes, that is a fact. For Jason Gibbs, for the kid, for Matt Wilhelm, thanks to Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. We want to say thank you for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR. Thanks, Brian Vaughn.